This is Kensington Apricot from the Clockwork Fisticuff Society, and you're listening to What's on Fight on the brand new Trending Topics Network.
Welcome, fight fans, to What's on Fight, the podcast that watches random wrestling, MMA, boxing, jiu-jitsu, even movies here on Fight. And I don't do it alone because I have a co-host. He is Mr. Fourth Row. What are you fighting with this week?
Well, most recently, as the time of this recording, yesterday, we had previously talked about how many things have I done more than five times, and that's win championships. Well, our volleyball team, just as of yesterday, won the league championship. So there's another thing I've been fighting with this week. It was a very close 2-1 victory, all close matches, or close games. So that was pretty much it that I've been doing. What about yourself?
Not too much. Easy weekend. Just going out to eat with my girlfriend and meeting her parents and all that stuff. Don't like to say the wrong girlfriend, but we have a special guest today. It's none other than David from the Clockwork Fisticuff Society. And how's it going, David?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Oh, great. We're fantastic. And we found your show on Fight. Tell us a little about you and what is this Fisticuff Society all about?
Well, I actually used to be a professional wrestler, and I suffered a neck injury about a year and a half ago, so I kind of stepped away from the ring. But I still wanted that outlet for performing. So I decided what would happen if I took a pro wrestling company whose entire emphasis was on striking. And I liked the whole steampunk genre. So I decided to mash them together. And this whole weird hybrid show came about. I know it's a bit quirky and niche, but it seemed to work really well.
That it is. It is very interesting. When I first scrolled across it, I text my co-host immediately, like, you gotta check this show out. It is right up our alley of stuff we like to watch and like to look into, because we're into stuff like that. It's like boxing but wrestling, but
yeah, you know, like, I wanted to take that idea and, like, people who wanted to perform but maybe didn't have the experience to be able to pull off some of the more intricate wrestling maneuvers and spots. And, you know, most people can learn how to throw a decent punch. And so we took that premise, and then we took wrestling maneuvers that in modern day wrestling are basic. You know, super kicks are thrown in every match, spears and stuff. But in our show, those are devastating moves. Like, an elbow strike will end a fight. You know, a super kick will end a fight. A headbutt will end a fight.
Oh, so when you were wrestling, did you use the steampunk gimmick, or what gimmick did you have?
Much like the show where I play multiple characters, I had a few different gimmicks. So I had a more serious one that was very much a cliche in pro wrestling. It was like the goth guy, because that's kind of the style I am in everyday life. So I just did that and ramped it up to 11. The other character I did was a comedy character that was a spoof of the Power Rangers, except they were awful at fighting. So they were kind of jobbers, helped put everybody else over and give people a few laughs. So it was very different spectrums of characters, but those are the two that I played mainly.
And watching the show, like, it's a shot, like, weird, you know, so it's more of the black and white feel, or, and the graphics look very good. I seen, like, cuts, I don't know what they call them, the little flashes of things inside the videos. And you do all the editing, or what is your Fisticuffs job? What do you do there?
So I pretty much I write and edit it. We film with three different cameras simultaneously. So again, we're using people that don't have a lot of experience to some people that are professional wrestlers. So to cover up maybe strikes that aren't landing nicely or realistically, we can do the camera cuts in post-production. So I do the writing, the editing, all that. I actually wanted to point out that living in the whole pro wrestling world for so long, the booking usually has the promoter is booking all of the outcomes of the matches, and I didn't care for that. So I don't actually choose who wins or loses any of the matches. We decide it randomly, and I write the story, the season around that. So everyone on the show has a even outcome of being like the main eventer, so to speak, and other people would be supporting roles.
Oh, very cool.
Okay, but how would that work if you had to fight yourself? Don't you play more than one character?
Yeah, we can write stuff, backstage things. Maybe somebody is gets jumped before a match and they no show, so they get a default 10 count and they lose. That hasn't come up yet. We do some bracket placement. So, what'll happen is both of my characters are going to win a fight and have to fight each other in the next bracket, I will make one of my characters lose the fight so that matchup doesn't happen. But with some of the characters, like Pummeljaw, for example, is a robot. It's fully covered head to toe. Anyone can play that person. Of similar height, we can just have them step into the character. So we can do kind of some cheating like that to get mirror matchups against myself.
Yeah. Because I was wondering, like, how are you winning? How are you losing, but yet you are, winning, not winning the matches, but it's like he writes and he books, but his characters don't win. It's like, that's a kind of.
It's pretty much that. And I'm more in for it, like, not the destination, but the journey. I just really like the performing. So, I play Kensington Apricot, who's a complete, he's completely different from my normal character, like the trying to be the badass goth guy. He's this foppish Victorian person who throws open hand slaps for his attacks. And he's just he's the worst fighter. He's a comic relief for the show. But it's super fun. So, I don't really care if any of my people ever win anything. It's just I want the story to be good.
I thought it was a good story once, I watched it and got into it. I watched it all in one sitting. It was pretty awesome. I thought the good writing, just good graphic, good backstage stuff. That's most importantly, no wasted time, no wasted backstage vignettes. Told the story of the guy cheating and, the owner and the other guy to, fix the fights for, him to win.
Yeah.
So I did like the story. And these other people, are they friends of friends of yours or just other actresses and actors, or who are these other characters?
The character that plays Pirates Pandora is actually my wife. And she actually has some combat sports backgrounds like MMA and boxing, but hadn't really done any acting. The person who plays Augustine, he's actually I used to work with him when I did pro wrestling. He's a very good performer. We love the way he portrays his character. Hiram Bugsworth, that is a family friend of ours who actually has a ridiculous amount of stage acting. He's directed and been in a number of plays. So pretty much the whole group is friends or, friends of friends that have now become close friends after season 2's been filmed. So it's kind of a close knit group. Everyone knows each other. It makes for a nice, environment.
That's cool. And then, what I like the most, I do like the pirate. I forget the name of her right now.
It's Pirates Pandora.
Yeah, she had a very cool gimmick and stuff. And then the next guy you said, he looked more like he was more athletic because I see him throw a super kick and win a match. I thought that was hilarious. Like, you do a super kick, but the rules are, what are your rules for the fighting? But it's frowned upon, but encouraged.
Yes, basically, the whole reason why someone might be like, why is the referee not calling any of the illegal things? And it's because our referee is an escaped convict. She's happened to be wearing a prisoner's dress. And it looks like referee stripes. So that's how we got around the whole why aren't there really any rules being enforced. And it's because she doesn't know the rules. She just knows the count to 10 because she's hiding from the police. So that's the whole excuse of why everyone can cheat. Pretty much everyone in the Clockwork Fisticuff Society is not a very nice person in some way or another. So there's a lot of cheating. Our janitor character, Horatio, is probably the nicest character. We'd be like the most pure face in the promotion.
Which is a good character as well. I liked all the characters. It looked like they were fleshed out in each episode. And he did little like B shows for the A show that tell him a little bit more about the character. I thought that was important as well. I didn't get a chance to watch all of them because I had to, you know, put this out. But I thought it was pretty smart too to let these characters speak and let people know who they were and, you know, how they are.
Yeah, we were trying to keep the shows more of a bite size. You know, the first episode was 21 minutes, which was a bit long for what I was wanting, but we're trying to keep them shorter. And instead of putting these promo interviews in the episode, we decided to make them separate. So if you cared enough about a character, you could have them hear from themselves more about their character. But if not, they weren't integral for the most part to the story. You could skip them. And we've continued that with season two of having these B episodes for each of the fighters.
Oh, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's very cool. And then I did like the, you know, they played even the ref, like you said, she's like a klepto. She keeps stealing the announcer's hat.
So yes,
it,
yes.
Little stuff like that. So you know she's a crook. And once in a while, hey, how's the ref have your hat? I don't know. I think she's a klepto or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of little stuff I was really into. I think Pandora opened a box. They hit the warp reality.
That was clever.
So you basically have Pandora's box, which is, you know, where we kind of stole that, you know, name from the whole mythology of Pandora's box. And yeah, it's her box of curses. So we use that to break fourth walls. As you saw in the episode, it turned into a color. It turned into a full color view, and you saw the cameras for the show. Kind of broke down reality temporarily. And that, you know, she uses that in later seasons to mess with the musical choices of episodes and stuff. So, you know, we have a lot of stuff going on that is ragtime piano and instrumentals. So she'll use it to bring in like 80s rock music and stuff.
And how far are you in? How many seasons are you at now?
We just finished season two a few months ago. And those I'm currently uploading daily to Fight. So whenever those come through their vetting process, they'll be up. We filmed the whole season in one day. It's like a 10 to 12 hour filming day. And then it takes me a few months to get all the editing done, especially now because I've added in, green screen capabilities. So we just finished season two. Season three is currently being written, and we're going to have a special, I think a 45 minute long special episode that'll air after season three.
And like, what was the purpose of making this the first time? Just for friends, for family? What was your idea of making this show?
It was mainly so I could continue, you know, the performance outlet. I wanted to continue doing something similar to pro wrestling, but without the risk. So the injury I suffered a few years ago, it was to my neck. And in the time it happened, I thought I broke it. And thankfully, it just ended up being some muscles in the neck were very badly pulled. The doctor said it was one-way whiplash. But having something like that happen kind of made me rethink it. You know, I'd been wrestling for almost a decade and decided to step away from such a physical performance and go to something that the bumps aren't so taxing on the body and you don't have to do all these high spots and such during any particular match.
Yeah.
So that was the main reason why it was made, is so we could do that. But when I ran it by the people I was thinking about having on the show, everybody loved the idea, and it just kind of, we ran with it.
Yeah, because the idea is unique, extremely unique and different. It has a bunch of layers, which I'm into. A lot of different characters, a lot of different layers. Just, you know, you're sticking with the clockwork style of shooting. A lot of these people are from that era, the characters that they play. So I digged it a lot. I honestly did. I was like, did I watch season two, episode one, just to see what was different and what's going to happen next, because I couldn't hold out.
Yeah. And was that, sorry, go ahead.
No, it was just like when you were a professional wrestler, did you work for any companies or any known companies or anything like that?
There's a Michigan-based company. They're in the Flint area, but they're moving around. They're mainly the east side of the state of Michigan, called the Michigan Wrestling Organization. I worked for them for about 8 years, and I also refereed for Irish Whip Wrestling in Ireland very briefly. So that's mainly where I stuck to. It was very like family environment, and which I liked. So I did a few other indie companies. And I just didn't care for a lot of the, I guess the mindset and the way people carried themselves and treated their colleagues, which is also one of the reasons why I wanted the show. I wanted it to be run different. It's very professional, friendly on set without egos running about.
It's like you were mentioning, it's a fair shake for everyone. Not one particular guy is put on top. It's just the luck of the coin flip or whatever you do to, put someone on top. And the stories are really good. I was like, oh no, this person lost, but there's a, was it a round robin style tournament that you should call it? Or is it a loser's bracket?
The first season's a double elimination. So people got multiple chances. When we move forward, it's going to a single elimination and, focusing on like those characters' backgrounds and stories. But it's still an elimination style. So even though people have been knocked out of the tournament, they'll still pop up in other episodes to maybe mess with other fighters or just to continue learning more about that person.
Oh, okay. Like I said, I'm really into it. Really into it. Liked it. And that's why I contacted you guys once I seen it. And it was came up for our selection to be viewed. And I'm glad you stepped into this interview, because it's, like I said, it's just totally different. No one else is doing it, which is great. You want that. That's what you want. But
yeah,
what is, like, I got like 1,000 questions. What is that title belt real? Because it looks fucking, it's pretty sick and looks pretty thick. Is it a prop? Is it a actual title?
I actually handmade it myself. It is made of leather and wood and bolts. So it is fairly heavy. It's quite solid. You can't tell in the black and white, but it's like a brown, copper, silver combination. It was just handmade. I didn't have it customized by anybody. We're pretty proud of it.
No, it looks nice on TV. I was like, man, it's really intricate and all the stuff. And I'm like, that looks heavy as hell. It doesn't look, plus it fits the period that you guys are wrestling in or boxing.
Yeah.
What do you call what you're doing? I don't know if it's wrestling, boxing, or.
it's supposed to be boxing with these little like Easter eggs that are like an homage to wrestling. So. That's most of the combat is punches, obviously, but then you'll have someone, as you pointed out, Augustine threw a super kick to win one of his fights. It's boxing, but with pro wrestling elements added into it.
All right, cause I seen like, someone throwing a double fist, like a sledgehammer, and I'm like, what? That's not people throwing elbows, people punching people when they're on their knees, like that's not in boxing. As a ref,
People throwing headbutts. You have people getting kicked in the ribs while their opponent's trying to get up. Yeah, and the ref not stopping her count. It's supposed to be this. It's kind of like this underground boxing society that is presenting itself as this posh, upper class event that people can go to. But there's no rules really. It's just the only rules are get up by the 10 count, and that's pretty much it. Everything else is fair game.
And speaking of Easter eggs, it looks like you do bloopers for each season as well. Tell us about that. Any memorable ones?
Yeah, we've kind of had this running gag now that there's always a song that someone on the cast or the whole cast ends up singing when they don't think anyone's looking. So this season ended with a Wilson Phillips song. So those are, we look for those when we're filming just because it's kind of become a running gag on the show. But just a lot of, I don't know if there's anything that stands out immensely. Yeah, there's just so many of them. You know, I try to put them into those outtake things, and if I put all of them, it would probably be as long as the whole season. just because, you know, it's, people are learning their lines almost on the spot, and, you know, trying to play these ridiculous characters creates a lot of people not being able to keep a straight face. So there's a lot of flub lines, a lot of laughing.
I get that. Have you done a live show yet, or...
You know. The initial idea for the show was to be a live show. But when you're trying to get people that don't have that live show experience, they're not so keen on it. So doing it filmed where we can do multiple takes, edit out mistakes, there's no audience watching you in the moment, made it more comfortable for everyone involved, especially those that don't have any acting experience. So the idea of a live show is not out of the question. We're maybe looking at doing a comic convention or a steampunk convention coming up in the future.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask, because I do a lot of volunteering for science fiction, Star Trek, you know, kind of conventions, things like that. So it's like, okay. Oh, God, you know, your meet and greets may even be just a thing to do, too.
Yeah, I mean, we've thought about maybe just getting a booth at a place to start and just getting the show out there to more people. But I've been looking for the perfect maybe steampunk convention to come up that we could get, even maybe not a tournament format, but maybe just some like exhibition matches, maybe do like four or five of them and just in a regular style show.
Yeah. That's good. And there's only, I've seen there's only one woman fighter being your wife, but you added more women in the next couple of seasons, or any other women sign up?
We've been trying to recruit some. The next season, you know, season two, we didn't have, it's still just Pandora. Season three, we were looking at it, but it didn't flesh out with the characters that were being written for it. So, and also trying to... Because we know, we have a few friends that may have been interested in it, but their personal lives are so busy that it's just hard to get them on board. So it's not out of the question. We're still looking. But as of season three, it's not in the cards.
Yeah, get the ref in there. She can,
that idea has been, it's been kicked around, that she would get involved in fighting at some point. And it may happen in the special episode we're going to do. It's not a huge spoiler, but we might be doing a like an over-the-top Battle Royal type special episode. But in our case, instead of throwing them over the top rope, it's just knocking them off their feet, eliminates you. But we'd have the whole like timed entrance and stuff, just to have that, again, another nod to professional wrestling.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, you said you had a little bit professional wrestling experience, and when I was watching the show, I noticed that because the ref was never in front of the camera the whole time, and that was one of my critiques. That was a great one. I was like, the ref never steps in front of the camera, so these guys knew what they were doing when they went to film this, because she does the horseshoe shape. So I was like, oh, yes. So someone knows what they're doing. And I thought it was the Augustine guy because he threw the super kick. I was like, oh, he must be the professional wrestler. But I understand, you know. Now, interviewing you, which was great, I know it was you, but yeah, that's something that was very, I thought it was super cool that happened.
Well, the thing that's great too is that, the guy that plays, Magnus Chatterbox, who's like our master of ceremonies ring announcer, he actually has experience with, film. So he knows stuff about setting up different camera angles and getting good shots and things, you know, the lighting and stuff. So he's been invaluable with helping kind of a quality control aspect.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So he's been, he's been able to give us some nice critiques on stuff, like moving cameras here or there, or trying to take different photos and different lighting and stuff.
Yeah, I get that. And cause I noticed, I was like, man, these guys are, did they do any seasons before this? Because this looks really professional, not people just really joking around. He took it actually seriously in a joking manner, but nobody's in the way of the camera. Few good camera angles. The backdrop is all nicely laid out. I thought it was nice, you know. The ring is just what it is. It's underground basement fighting. That's what I thought when I seen the ring, but I understand, you know, how it is.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, we actually filmed the thing in the show in a mixed martial arts gym, and that just had white walls. So I actually handmade all of those panels you see that give that damask wallpaper look.
Yeah.
It was like 5.5 hours of building those.
Oh wow! But I do like it. It shows your logo. It's a touch. It's a nice little touch that we know it's bare walls, you know, but it sucks you into it knowing this is, you know, more or less an underground place. And we're into that. Logos being seen, nothing in the background that looks too goofy. But yeah, I thought it was a good touch. I mean, sucks it took you so long to bake it, but it proved it worked out. So.
Oh, thank you.
And, like I was saying, you added more women and you had another cast member for the second season. And I think that was pretty cool. You play that time traveler guy or I forget.
Yeah. Topher Tossbody is a time traveler that travels by drinking. And, to counteract the whole, a lot of time travel paradox stuff, like, why wouldn't you just be able to win the tournament if he can time travel? It's because he becomes blackout drunk when he time travels. So he doesn't really remember what he was doing.
Yeah, I get that. I understood that. I was like, because he goes into the future and he brings someone back to the past. It's like, oh my gosh. So that's another, I mean, it's the start of the second season, but that's another story I would like to follow. Like, does this guy care that he's blacked out drunk too? Does he care where he's at? What's his character up to? So I do like character development and how these characters grow and adding stuff every match. Like you say, your wife added that flying fish, which is, you know, like her pet in the middle of the match interfering. Stuff like that is, you know, whimsical and it was very funny and, you know, done right. Like it distracted the guy. Mm-hmm. So she punched him. So I was like, yeah, this makes 100% sense that this would happen. And he wanted it. So it put a little bit of stakes on the line. So she had to win or she'll lose her flying fish thing. I don't know what it is.
Yes. Yeah, I was trying to make sure everything that happened in the fights fit the time period and theme, but also it wasn't just a weird, like, why did that happen? You know, having the time travel aspects fit, as you said, the fish interfering. In a later season, you know, season two, a ray gun gets involved from Mad Potion. And that's where all the special effects I've learned have come into play. I was trying to do that. You know, in season two, Topher's time travel effect, you know, in this season it was just a wavy screen and then it cut back to what he was doing. But, you know, going forward, we actually have this steampunk clock that materializes out of the air with like these light arms going around it and all these like light flares and stuff. So it's pretty sharp looking.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen all of season two since, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of my co-host, but yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting. I definitely am going to watch once it comes out. And not only are you guys on Fight, I see you have a YouTube as well.
Yeah, that was our main avenue of uploading the show initially before I discovered Fight. So they upload there usually first, and I am doing them. I'm trying to have them be more uploaded simultaneously going forward. But yeah, that we have the YouTube channel and the Facebook page for it, and that's where we upload everything initially.
And how did you get started with Fight? I mean, what drew you to Fight, or how did you get on Fight?
Well, when I started with YouTube and was looking for other places to have the videos and the shows be uploaded, just to reach a bigger audience, and then just doing a search, I discovered basically, you know, Fight is a combat pro wrestling, you know, combat sport platform, and that's all they share. And I thought that was a perfect fit. Even though our show is a bit unique in what we're offering, I felt because it was essentially pro wrestling that it fit there really well.
Oh, okay. And do you watch anything else on Fight? What do you watch on there?
I watch a lot of the, I like the community stuff. You know, we're uploading our things to the community section, and I like to be able to, you know, support those people too, to watch what they're doing and putting their efforts forth. They want people to see their indie shows or their matches that they think are special. So, you know, I'll go through there and watch those. I like a lot of the Ring of Honor, I like a lot of the Ring of Honor stuff.
Oh, all right. Yeah, one of the top rated shows on there, but, you know, it is a very good show, but man, I just can't get over the uniqueness of your particular show, because there's nothing else on there like that. And then it made me dive into a little bit more of the, Clockwork style stuff. And I think you're pretty much, I haven't seen anyone, which is great. You're probably the only people that are doing what you're doing, which is, I think is really cool. Like, you know, uniqueness, the first to come out, and then you're always elevating your own product. Cause like you said, the green screen is in fact in the second season. Like when the fighters are posing before their matches, they're actually animated and moving around. So
we took that aspect instead of like the, you know, the still matchup screen that the first season has with like the portraits, and actually have that, you know, the turnaround, do your pose, full animated screens. You know, we say when you see the show opening, there's a plaque that says the world's best steampunk boxing show. And it's a bit of hyperbole because we're the only steampunk boxing show. So it's kind of a joke, inside joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one else is doing it, so we can say we're the best.
That's all right, you. That makes all sense, you know, logical. But, oh, man. You got anything, Artie? Or?
Well, I was going to say, one of the kind of things I've just been looking at your Facebook page, you got some interesting things. You guys have a dice game? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I actually design board games, which I self-publish on the GameCrafter website. And I wanted a game that was maybe for more casual game fans. It's really quick to play. You could play it over drinks or just socializing with friends. So it's, I just took stills from the show, and like the matchup screen photos that you saw to make the cards, and I have them professionally printed from an on-demand game creation company, which I, basically self-published and sell myself.
Oh, man, you're extremely creative. That's, that is awesome.
Oh, thank you.
I did not notice that. But that's, wow, you guys are really creative over there, Steampunk Society. And you're going to add a lot more people, you say a few more, but are you going to add a lot more people in, or is just, you're going to keep this little niche group? You plan on, like, another 8-9 people or something, or?
I don't know where it will go in the future with the number of performers on the show. Right now we're making a use of a lot of masked characters to be able to keep the cast member count low, because it's easier to, you know, organize all these different people because they live from all over the state to be able to get into one location. So we're trying to avoid adding a bunch of people because it'll make trying to schedule filming that much harder. But season 3, just to, you know, give a little tidbit about that, there's going to be 16 fighters involved.
Ooh.
But that's all I'll say about that. So there will be more, and we are adding some more cast members to that. Not a huge jump. Some people are playing multiple characters, but who knows where it'll go in the future. I have kind of a waiting list of people that are interested in being on the cast, so I'm pulling from that as we need them.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm glad you guys keep moving forward and stuff like that, because it is an interesting dynamic, a different style of show, which is filled with comedy and a great story. The story is, I'm more of a storyline-based person, you know, the in-ring is, you know, just people punching each other. But the story is pretty interesting. Backstabbing, time traveling to restart a match. You know, people.
Yeah, that's the main thing we're trying to go for is, like, we want a good story. And so season 2 forward is more focusing on the story and less so on, like, having a whole bunch of matches in an episode. So instead of trying to cram 2, 3, 4 matches into a thing, we'll have one and really focus on those two fighters. So you get to see, as you mentioned, the backstabbing and the conniving and maybe visiting a few other storylines for upcoming matches. But it's being more focused on story and two particular people. And it's kind of their episode. So each of the fighters kind of get their own showcase going through the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Which is good. It's just good. You know, you start off with a good base and a good attack and going at it really hard. And, like I said, I got a lot of questions for this show because it's just so different. So outrageous. And, what are you guys based out of? Where's this in real life?
We're in Michigan, near Grand Rapids.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cause we're trying to figure it out. And in this show, where are you based out in the show?
We don't specifically say.
I did notice. I was like, where are they? Maybe I could look some more of this stuff up. Cause Augustine,
yeah, we didn't want to say where we were, and we also specified the exact date the show takes place in. It's just the past. You get a general idea because it's steampunk, so Victorian era at some point, but nor are we ever going to specify a date that the show takes place in. It's just sometime in the Victorian era.
Yeah, no, just like maybe it's in this city or this state because, you know, no one mentions it, and I got to, like, okay, this is, where would it be taking place if it was? Like, that's how intricate I get into stuff. Like, oh, where's this at? So when we do talk about a show, we can more or less morph into that time of, you know, era. But it's all good. But, Dave, if you got any plugs or you want to tell people where else they can find, you know, the Fisticuffs Clockwork Society or the Clockwork Fisticuffs Society, anything like that, you want to tell us how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, if anyone's wanting to follow us, we are on Facebook. You can just search for the Clockwork Fisticuffs Society. We're also on Twitter. Again, you can search for the Clockwork Fisticuffs Society. YouTube and Fight are our main video avenues. So you can find us on there by searching for the show name. And if you're interested in a dice game, that's fairly easy to play. If you like the show and want to kind of step into the shoes of those fighters and take on your friends, and you can search for the Clockwork Fisticuffs Society on the GameCrafter.com.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dave. We're definitely going to get you on. We'll be covers the all of season 2 if you want to be on. But
absolutely.
I think that's it for us. And then once we get done, we'll, you know, with everything else, we'll let you guys know when it shows up. But I think I got too many questions. So I was gonna say,
well, if you have season 2, yeah. Season 2, you can
And if you want to bring any other cast members on as well, you know, we'll set it up. We could do something, you know, all you guys are, you know, even. Something. We don't mind. I like the show. We like Fight, and you guys are on there, so it's all equaled out, you know.
But, yeah, absolutely. I'll see if any of them want to jump in next time around.
Yeah. But I would like to thank you very much again, Dave, and I hope everything works out for the Clockwork Fisticuff Society.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming.
How are you on?
Hello, lovelies. This is Pirateess Pandora from the Clockwork Fisticuff Society. You're listening to What's on Fight on the brand new Trending Topics Network.
I really want to thank Dave from Clockwork's Fisticuffs Society for coming on and pretty much helping us break this show down. You know, that interview was probably more or less the preview, because around this recording time, Mr. Forfro and not having a good week, it seems. As you heard in the first part, two of his vehicles
weren't doing too well. Now he's not doing too well. His voice just went out on him. So I'm just going to run down the rest of the show and do some little stuff that I liked. But I really would want you to watch it. Just a few episodes. Get into this favor. Because they did a very good job, like I was telling them about. Good camera work and good lighting. The backdrop was nice. Even though it was just like curtains. Up. You know? So this wasn't bare walls. There's no distracting piece. Maybe that the curtains was uneven. But that's, you know. You know me. That's a little bit nitpicking, though. But I honestly like the show. As you heard in the interview, I had so many questions, but I wanted to save for another interview so we could snag them again. And we've been talking today outside of, you know, this show, a little breaking a fourth wall with Mr. Fourth Wall, likes to say. And, you know, they want to come on to do season, you know, review with season two. So that's when we'll probably get more in depth into more or less the characters and such, because, you know, we just ran through an interview. Who wants to hear another hour of stuff? But I really enjoyed it. I didn't care for the ring. Just the way it was constructed, it was just basically sticks on the ground and ropes attaching each stick. Even though it leveled out, I didn't enjoy it as much. Maybe you get a little bit more of a structural pole or something like that. Maybe it's unfeasible. I guess it does tie in for someone punches them. I mean, it's a little bit more mechanics where this is just raw. At least it's something to keep the people aside of the ring. So, you know, for that era, I guess it fits well. But other slight problems. The cameras. There's no problem with the cameras. Only three cameras for the actual shows. That was very good. One camera was centered. One camera was just slightly outside center, and then one camera was focused on where the entrance were. Just great matches. Like you were saying, the ref was just didn't know the rules. People were on their knees getting punched. So that was like, okay, I know the rules, but I mean, they're on their knees getting punched, whatever. But she was still counting. So maybe, you know, maybe in a season she sees she's getting paid for this, and that makes her want to do her job just a little bit better. Or even get her in the action, like, hey, you screwed me over a few times, you know, he can't hit me now. People kicking, people doing all these wacky stuff. So let's bring her in as maybe she's finally getting paid, so she takes her job a little seriously. Her counting was loud, but sometimes I'm like, I hear counting, but I don't see her. But it is her counting. But she's just like, her hands are down. We need to show, I guess you don't need to show the crowd, but at least show the announcers that there's a count going. Put your hands up, put your fingers. A lot of wacky stuff, especially. I forget which the time traveler guy loses the match. So he drinks his potion. He loses a decision. He drinks his potion, goes back in time. Restarts in the middle of the match and then wins. Stuff like that is cool. Pandora, you know, messing up the time continuum. Well, I don't know. Opening Pandora's box and then, you know, making everything into the future. Then she reversed the move on the, you know, the time traveler where he drinks too much, I guess, and then travels forward in time, which is wacky as well, but. Yeah, I don't think, even if he didn't give away, eventually, after one loss, Pandora went through the loser's bracket and turns around and wins the title over Augustine. It was a good story because the promoter wanted to make more money. He figured since Augustine had he came off as having a rich parents, and he wanted to show his father something, that he would be the one, you know, they would team together to make him the champ. So hopefully that storyline plays into next year. There was a Royal Rumble style match where there was three competitors in the ring for the final match because Augustine needed to win. And it was very fun, very cool. I would give it about an 8 or so. I really liked it. So, I mean, it wasn't too messed up. But season 2 is a hell of a lot better. So that kind of sucks that I've seen it. The first episode of season 2, because I'm like, oh man, they have better graphics and, you know, same lighting but better graphics. They did display the people's names, which I know Mr. Fourth Row likes a lot, displaying the characters' names when they're getting into the ring. I don't know if everyone had their own music, but everyone had their own catchphrase when they were coming into the ring. So that was a nice touch, more catchphrases, more different stuff like that before they get in. A character died, right? Didn't the robot die? So, you know me, I like when characters are away. Hopefully it doesn't come back. Maybe a second robot comes back, rebuilt stronger and better if they get a bigger robot. That'd be pretty cool. But like I said, I'm giving them guys a solid 8 because I enjoyed it, as you see through the interview. And I don't want to make this too long. But please watch it. Get into it. You're definitely going to like it. And let's give you some fighting news. It's going to be our anniversary. Our anniversary show is coming up very, 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 very soon. And for that show, we're going to do it live. That's right. We're going to do a live review. As the show is playing in the background, we're going to talk about it and, you know, give you our opinions of the show. So that is pretty cool. And some other fight news. By the time of this portion of the recording, we have WWN. They were on Fight for a while, and then that crap Flow Slam popped up, and they ran over there. Well, Flow Slam is gone, and so they ran back to Fight. So that's pretty cool, because I did like WWN. They have Shine, they have Evolve, so they have some great shows. But hopefully, one of my favorite shows, WXW, is a German wrestling promotion, and it was so funny to watch. So that will probably be back on Fight here pretty soon. So yeah, so the next show we're going to do is that a live show. We're not going to give out which show we're going to do live because we don't want to watch it. So we're just going to pick it that day and then watch it. So it's like more spontaneous, so we don't have a chance to even know what anything is about. And pretty soon, what is it called now? TNA, Global First Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, whatever the name is, they're having Bound for Glory. I've been to a Bound for Glory. But, Bound for Glory is coming up November 5th or so. And most likely, we're going to review that one as another special show that we do for these larger shows that are found on Fight. And I think that's about it. You know, keep this one short because of the big time interview. Thanks again today from the Clockworks Fisticuff Society for coming on. He says he's going to bring his friends on, and I believe him because we've been texting back and forth since this airing. You know, I've seen if Mr. Fourth Row got a little bit better. His force is just gone, he says. So, you know, I just had to push this one out myself. So it's fun, you know. I hosted plenty of shows on my own. So, you know, this is just the ass end of a show, so it's not too bad. But I think we did the news, we did a little bit of the review. I gave it an 8. And so if you want to know more about this show, it is easy, it is simple to do. You can find us on Twitter. We're tweeting out a lot of stuff about what's going on with Fight on What's on Fight on Twitter. Send an email to our Gmail account. It is whatsonfight@gmail.com. You have anything you want to say, talk about, call the Fight line because you have a recording on there. We can place it onto the show, so it's another avenue for you to talk about stuff you're fighting with. It doesn't have to be on Fight, maybe something that you're going through life and you just want someone to hear your problems. That's what we're fighting with on the Fight line. And it's easy and simple to find me. I am FinFish, SCU on Twitter and my Gmail account. Mr. Fourth Row has the same. You find me, you'll find him. But don't forget, we got some great, wonderful shows on the brand new Trending Topics Network. It looks like Lulu Chat is probably gone. I might do a whole start all over because I think I'm going to have a co-host for the whole seasons. Again, we're going to run through season 1, 2, and 3 if we don't hear by season 4 by the beginning of the year. So Loot Chat is going to be on hiatus until we hear what's going on with the beginning of the year. We got odds on where just random pay-per-views. You want to pitch your money on them. We're going to give you the best odds for you to win. And, man, we're doing pretty decent. I think Mr. Fourth Row has been just hitting it hard since learning some techniques from me. We have the European Uppercut Podcast, the European perspective of American pro wrestling. We got Spanish announce tables from Kansas City. They slam your head through a table. I like their old catchphrase, but it's okay. You got to change things up here and there. Wrestling Cheers, hanging with Heavy Hair. Last couple episodes were just great. Just out. Awesome. CFL Easy Picks. Check that out. Legends on Siren FM. Eurovision Showcase. The Test Experience. All Beer Inside. STFU TTN at the movies. If it's not my show, that's not my show. But other than the shows that aren't not my show, this is probably one of my favorite shows. That's like I'm saying, TTN at the movies. Tim and Tom Drive Time with Cal Valentine. I wonder if he says it like that. I gotta check that one out. So give him a little bit of time. But that sounds cool. Like that Squabble Cast is so much and more. People want to add their shows. They're a little bit scared to get on. It's not that hard. Trust me. If I could do it, you could do it. You don't need much to do it. But yeah, just, you know, check all that out on the brand new Trending Topics Network. Subscribe wherever you're at. But yeah, it's a good time with all of that, though. I'm going to leave you with a fighting quote from none other than Margaret Thatcher. You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it. And it looks like I am done fighting with Clockworks Fisticuffs Society Season 1. How about you? Oh, this is Mr. Fourth Row's part. But now that we are done fighting this week, fight on. I think that's how I said it. All right.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Charlie Chinwag from the Clockwork Fisticuff Society, and you are listening to What's on Fight on the brand new Trending Topics Network.
Spoke, never fails. Every deed is hard as nails. She never speaks, she never smiles. The journey's end of a thousand miles. Rings on her fingers and bells on her toes. Music to haunt her, she knows as she goes. Many years of better rock. Many turns of the season's clock. She never smiles, she never speaks. Awful silence, who's running? Ghostlight and candlelight show her the way. Onward the dawn of the day, as they say. Stay with her, lay with her, carry her high. Swear her allegiance to things you can't hide. She
Stay with her, lay with her, carry her high.
Let's hear it.